Quentin, thank you very much for agreeing to be interviewed for the Heraldry Society's first ever podcast. May I start by asking you, what was it that first sparked your interest in heraldry?
My interest in heraldry wasn't sparked until a client of mine asked me to digitally restore their family coat of arms from a small letterhead. And that's where it really started. Before then, I had noticed heraldry, but I hadn't really studied it at all. And so I created this first project, and I realized I really enjoyed it and wanted to learn more. And that's where it really started. That was only about 12, 13 years ago. So things have developed quite a lot since then, and to the point where now I'm almost solely working on heraldry and nothing else.
So was that the event that led you to become a heraldic artist?
It was certainly the spark. I always had an interest in history. And living in Cambridge, there's lots of heraldry adorning various colleges and so on. So I had certainly noticed it. I just hadn't taken the time to look into it properly. I would say that very first project was the spark that ignited my interest in it properly. I took it from there to do a bit of research into what sort of what artists are out there, what kind of styles and things like that. So, but it was quite tentative at first, whereas things grew later on down the line. So yes, that would definitely be it, the first project.
Was there any particular specialist training that you had to undergo, or any particular skills that you had to develop beyond the digital illustration skills that you already had in order to become a competent heraldic artist?
I'm still on that learning curve, in fact. I think I'll be on it for many years to come. But as you mentioned, I was a digital artist beforehand, you know, doing graphic design and vector illustration. And I soon realized that there were no other digital artists of particular note, especially in the UK when I started. So I saw there was a definite gap in the market there. So I sent out some emails. It was quite random at first, but one of the people who got back to me was Clive Cheeseman from the College of Arms, who was interested. So my training, I would say, he was my lecturer. So he basically taught me a lot about heraldry, about the way it should look, you know, the way the charges should fill the field, and you know rules of tincture and so on, but much more beyond that. So I still work with Clive and other heralds at the College of Arms from time to time. And I'm always learning every single project I do. I think that I'm getting there. And I'm sure a few years down the line, I will look at myself today and say, oh, I knew nothing back then. So it's ongoing, and it's been informal, but I've been very privileged to learn from people at the College of Arms, and I'm very grateful for that, Clive in particular.
You mentioned that when first you got into this field, you didn't find anyone else really at the forefront of digital heraldry. Has that situation changed, or?
There's a few. When I started, digital heraldry seemed to mean cutting out a photo of hand painted heraldry, and getting rid of the background basically. Whereas nowadays, internationally, there definitely seems to be more going on. My style's probably the most English, College of Arms type of style, as far as digital artists go. But more people are, especially in Europe, are getting interested. I'm seeing nice works starting to appear on various platforms. So that's nice, but certainly for a while there didn't seem to be really anyone, maybe a couple of artists dotted around the whole globe. So a definite gap in the market.
So how do customers come to find out about your services as a digital heraldic artist today?
Well, initially it was through heralds who I work with at the College of Arms. But nowadays it's a lot more on social media. For me personally, Facebook seems to be really good. Twitter's good too. On other platforms as well. Facebook in particular, there seems to be a huge interest and many groups, Facebook groups, based in heraldry and various different forms, book plates and micronations and all sorts. So I follow as many as possible just to keep an eye out on what's being created out there. And there's lots of interesting things being designed, illustrated, coats of arms from other countries where where they don't need to go through the College of Arms and so on. So it's a lot more down to the artists themselves rather than a herald designing it. So you see some quite crazy designs from time to time, but there's a lot of good stuff out there now.
Thank you very much for that, and I can only echo the experience you've had in the digital realm and the experience that the Heraldry Society's had. It's really quite phenomenal how many different communities and how many people are very active in this field on social media. Moving on, what's the most unusual request that you've had from a client thus far?
I haven't really had unusual requests. I've certainly seen other artists, more from past artists, doing quite out there book plates, for example, and that might, be quite unusual. But as far as I go, I haven't had really any unusual requests. It's all very kind of how would I put it? It's all very heraldic, so it's all kind of very correct. The Olympics for me was quite an unusual project, just in the nature of it and where it appeared, and literally seeing my design up in lights at the launch and so on. I do get asked, there was a project recently for a foreign intelligence agency where it was all hush hush. I couldn't know the name of the client and so on. So I hope I do get some unusual requests. Variety is the spice of life. So I'm hoping to get some real out there requests for book plates and so on. But for me, I'm a fan of so many different styles of artwork. So whether it's creating something that is inspired by Otto Hoop or something that goes, you know, from years and years ago, I would like to do some more modern styles, minimal or kind of Art Deco or Art Nouveau, or, you know, all over the time zones, really. It's I'm quite interested in exploring how heraldry can be used for creating more heraldically inspired art.
You've alluded to the immense variety of ways in which digital heraldry can be depicted, and it's fair to say there is many different styles can be done in the digital realm as can be in the physical realm. But perhaps if you could give listeners a sense of, from a fundamental perspective, how does digital heraldry differ from conventional painted heraldry?
First of all, you know, the main difference would be that you do not have that hard copy, that painted artifact that you can frame and put on your wall. But that isn't to say you can't have digital artwork printed in various different ways, you know, and so you can have hard copies. But the main difference would be the versatility of digital artwork. So nowadays, with social media and so much being online or on screen, having artwork created where you can separate different components, you can edit, you can create, you could have a full achievement, then you could separate off the crest, the arms. You could, if there's supporters, you could have a version with and without supporters. Same goes for the standard. But also creating many other different high quality versions of a coat of arms, for instance. With more corporate clients, they might want a Blackonia line art or hatched version or a flat color version, or, you know, and it goes on, the list goes on, a white out version. So it's versatile in the fact that the digital artwork can be directly edited with relative ease, and then used for glass etchings, for, you know, the list is endless. So that's where digital artwork comes into its own. The other area is obviously not so much in the UK and within the jurisdiction of the College of Arms, but clients from, say, the USA who would like a coat of arms designing, then working digitally, I can, editing colours is really easy. So if they want to see a version where we change the argent for ore and so on, that's really easy. Whereas if you're hand painting that, that's it's not as simple.
It's very clear that the degree of flexibility that you have is greatly enabled by working in a digital medium. So moving on here, now bearing in mind that, of course, one commission will differ from the next, but typically how long do you have to invest in producing a full achievement?
A full achievement, I would say, yeah, the standard kind of level of complexity in a full achievement, around 2 days, but, you know, a week or 1.5 weeks if supporters and compartments and standards are involved. So it can really differ. What I don't think many people realize how long vector artwork takes to create. And it's never, almost never ever can you just reuse an element from a previous artwork. There might be small touches, details, the odd charge where it can be borrowed. So for every single commission that I take, everything is drawn from scratch. Or if it's not drawn from scratch, it's edited heavily. And there you go. It's one of the examples of where digital artwork comes into its own. The fact that I can edit old artwork or recolor or reposition, but it takes a lot of time to build up the knowledge of how to create the artwork. So it's been, that in itself has been a learning curve. And bearing in mind, I've got 20 years experience, over 20 years experience creating vector artwork. And I am still massively challenged by the odd project of just how am I going to create this? So that's, it's all really interesting stuff to me. whether it would be to somebody else, I don't know.
Well, so I take it that you don't have a big digital library of ready-made charges and divisions. You could just...
No, I've got a good friend of mine is an app developer, and we discussed a heraldry app where you could create your own heraldry, and it didn't take long. After a few discussions, we decided that it was virtually impossible to do it because there's so many variations. I mean, it wouldn't be it wouldn't be an app where you actually could design your own coat of arms. It would be just a bit of fun. But it kind of goes against a lot of the rules of heraldry anyhow, having an app where you can design your own coat of arms. But it just the amount of versions just of a lion, you know, every single color, every single position, it would be a ridiculous library that would be held within an app, and it would take years and years to create. So as I say, I have libraries of sorts, but it's never a drag and drop affair when creating a coat of arms for a client. It just never happens. You'd need a very extensive library, and probably it would take decades to create.
Indeed, and of course that library would only ever extend as people came up with new charges that they wanted on there.
Oh, absolutely, and especially when, say, someone's pet is their crest. You'd have to have every breed of dog, cat, and so on. So I don't think we'll ever get there.
Okay, we've already talked about some of the benefits available from doing heraldic design in a digital medium, but are there any drawbacks compared with the more conventional physical painting?
There certainly are. A simple brush stroke by a hand with a hand painted design can take a lot longer to create with digitally. And that sounds a little bit extreme, but in my experience, it really is. I've had clients with the artist's blessing ask me to digitally recreate a certain artist style. It is impossible. Someone painting by hand can often add little flourishes a lot easier than I can. Of course, I can do whatever a client wants, but to go to the standard of some of the hand paintings that I see, it would cost thousands and it would take weeks. And you certainly can't recreate the hand-painted look. It doesn't look right. So there's a difference between the two. I know from copying hand-painted artwork, as I mentioned, that lots of asymmetry can be slightly off. And because it's hand-painted, you don't notice. Now, if I did that digitally, it would look quite strange. So even down to that aspect, it can never be the same. You can never have that feel. It's got to be, if it's digital, it's got to be more perfect. Unless in the field of vector art, which I'm in, at least that's the case. Certainly you get people who digitally paint. That's a bit different. But so they would be the main differences, I would say. But the time it takes to create artwork is massive. There's also a limit to what the software can do. The software I use is, you know, completely industry standard but professional vector software. I will try to do things from time to time and I will crash the software and I may have to start that artwork completely again from scratch and take use a different process to create it just so the software can handle it. So there are limitations there.
That's absolutely fascinating. Okay, I'll move on to my penultimate question now. What advice might you give to someone who is considering following your footsteps and becoming a digital heraldic artist today?
Certainly study other artists. Study the field, as in the rules of heraldry, the whole environment globally of heraldry, where you may have different rules and so on. I've learned everything the hard way. But to someone who's just starting digitally, create your own style, but study other artists. Patience. It's taken me about 12 years to get where I am today, and I still feel I have so much more to learn. It takes time to build a style. So you need that patience to get through the first few years of projects where you're getting close, but it doesn't look how you want it to. I certainly look back over early commissions, and I can see how much I've changed since then, thankfully. So, the patience, but also an attention to detail. If you're not able to spend a lot of time on something, then you should maybe consider not doing that project, because you don't want something that doesn't have that attention to detail. So study line work, study colours, develop your colour palettes, and so on. all of that, basically. But it does take years. So patience is the main virtue you need.
Thank you. So we'll come to my last question then. If you were to have your time over again, what might you do differently in your journey to becoming a digital heraldic artist, and why?
That's a good question. As I mentioned before, I would have done a lot more research into the field. I went rather blindly, partly because it was new ground creating digital artwork. So I didn't know when I was crossing a line, and that happened a lot. And in fairness, you know, I know a couple of the heralds at the College of Arms were also doing everything for the first time. So we were kind of learning together in many ways. But I certainly have crossed that line a few times. So it's learning about the principles of heraldry, the do's and don'ts. Don't copy other artists. Obviously, when I'm creating digital artwork and I get asked to create artwork that's exactly the same as the original, then I know now that you need the permission of the original artist. So, but stupidly, rather stupidly, I didn't know that at one point. And for instance, I learned that the hard way.
Quentin Peacock of Digital Heraldry, thank you very much for being interviewed for the Heraldry Society's first ever podcast.
It's an honour. Thank you.
Right, stop recording.